Is that working? Yeah, today's daf is Ma'akad Naf Yud. We left off Tes Amud Beis towards the bottom of the page. But we're going to pick up first the Gemara, second wide line, Rav Shimon Chalafta. We left it out when our haste on Friday morning. We were rushing, we left out that one little story, and then we'll skip down to the towards the bottom where we got up to. So second wide line, Tes Amud Beis, Rav Shimon Chalafta, Rav Shimon Chalafta was,
maybe
leave,
there was a reason.
Was leaving Rav Chas V'Shalom. Amalei Levrei. So Rav said to his son, Zilgabe Levruch, go to him to get a bracha. Go to him to get a bracha. Very similar to the other story we had where he went to Rav Shimon Nechayis and went to get a bracha. Amalei, he had Rav Leis, Spayesh, Leitis, Vayesh, Leitis, Spayesh. It should be a Ratz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you don't embarrass others and you won't be embarrassed by others. Also got before, he came to his father. Amalei, as his father said to him, what did he say to you? Amalei said to him, Mila Dalmud Amalei. He said, regular, ordinary words, not such a special bracha. Amalei, Baruch HaBrichas Devarach Kudsh Yisrael, Kudsh HaBrich LeYisrael V'tanaba. Adrabah, the bracha that he gave you was the bracha that Klai Yisrael himself gave to Klai Yisrael, that Kudsh HaBrich himself gave to Klai Yisrael, and he repeated that bracha. Dechsev, V'achaltem Achav V'seva V'lalteem, V'leveshu Ami L'Olam. Maybe the reason why we skipped it is because, we say it Matzah Shabbos, right? We say this in the Vita Nachai thing, right? So twice it says Leiveshu Ami Loilam. Twice it's repeated Leivash My Nation Should Be Embarrassed Loilam. Don't say it's a simple bracha. That's the bracha that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave Klai Yisrael. So I repeated it. By the way, that is also the Yiratzin that we say before we learn. It's more brachas, of course, but it's the Yiratzin we say before we learn. We say that we shouldn't maybe make a mistake in the Dvar Lacha. It doesn't say not to be embarrassed, but it says V'yismuchu bichaveri, and my friend will be laugh at me, so to speak, or vice versa. My friend shouldn't make a mistake, and I should be laugh at him. Similar idea of not being embarrassed. Okay, we got down to a few lines past this. We got down to the Gemara of Amar Rav Yehuda, B'nai Yisrael. That's where that Amar Yehuda, B'nai Yisrael. So just jump down now to about seven. It's the third word on the line, about 10 lines up at the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Yehuda, B'nai Yisrael Shegila Pirkan. B'nai Yisrael that reached their perik, meaning they reached the age to start having simanim. They have simanim Cyrus. They have hearers, V'legil Shanim, but they're not really, so the age is the wrong word. They reached a level of puberty, but prematurely, it's a little young for the age. Essentially, they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed of having the hairs in these places at this age. So they're going to be removing these hairs. The question just is how they remove it. The reason why this comes up is because we've been talking about the idea of using different things for cosmetics and hair removal on the mayid. So once we're on the top of hair removal, we discuss this as well. This is more we've had this gemara before. We discussed this as well. This is not necessarily related to yomtiv. We're just saying the derech of Bnei Yisrael was as follows. Anias, the poorer girls, Tefus as a Mitzid, they would use plaster to get rid of the unwanted hairs. Ashiris, the wealthier girls, Tefus as a Mitzilis, they would use fine flour. Apparently it's a little more comfortable, but it's a little more expensive, obviously. So that's what they used. And Bnei Spalachim, the daughters of the kings, B'Shem Namar, they used Shem Namar, Shanamach, we have in the Megillah, Shisha Chadash, B'Shem Namar, 6 months, with Shem Namar, that's what's put on the skin of the girls that are coming to Achashverosh. My Shem Namar, what is exactly Shem Namar? Ravuna Bar Avchia Amar, Satras. Shem Namar Satras. Remember Bami Amar? Shem and Zayas Shlei Vishlish. It's a Shem Zayas that didn't achieve a third of its growth. So there's a Machlokes now in the Mefarshim. Are these two different things? Or is Rav Yirmiyah explaining what Rav Huna was saying? We asked what Shem Namar is. Rav Huna Barchia said it was Satras. And we still don't know the mark really could have asked. What's Satras? And Rav Yirmiyah says, Satras is oil that didn't come to Shlish. That is the Mahalach. That is the Mahalach of Rashi and Ksavyad. However, elsewhere, the Aruch, Rashi, and Nachas learns that it's two different pshatim. Rav Huna Barchia was saying satras, which the Gemara doesn't elaborate further, but it means balsam oil. It means balsam oil. And Rav Yirmiyah Ba'ami is saying, no, it's oil that didn't come, of aleph, that didn't grow a third of its growth. So it's two different pshatim. Either it's balsam oil, or it's oil of aleph that didn't grow a third. That is the Shem Namar. Tanya B'daimer, Ampinkin, which is a oil, which is in Nachas Adaf Pehe, Rashi quotes. Ampinkin is quoted in the Nachas Adaf Pehe about which oils cannot be used for the base of Migdash. So Shemin Zayish Levishlish. Pinkin is also an oil that didn't come achieve a third of its ripeness. That's the same idea we're talking about here. The Gabi, it's good for removing the hair, but it's not good for over there by Menachos. Vlamasach and say, why do people anoint themselves with these oils, whether it's balsam oil or whether it's olive oil that didn't grow a ripen the shlish, shemasher is a seir madness of buzzer. It causes the hair to come out and it causes the skin to shine. Rabbi Bibi had a daughter, Tufla Evi Ever. He actually put back to the lime, he put the lime on her limb by limb. He did her entire body, but a very specific, it was limb by limb. He did one limb at a time, and he's able to remove the hairs, and it causes the skin to become, like, to shine. Shaklaba Abramezuzim. After he was done with this whole process, she was worth, literally, on the Shidduch market, people were running up together, and he was able to charge 400 zuz for the right to take her hand in marriage. Hava hu kusi b'shuze. There was a kusi that lived in the neighborhood, saw this, and said, I'm going to do the same thing to my daughter. Hava they brought the other daughter, taf b'chad zimna. But instead of doing it like Ravivi did it, aver, he did it all at once. Apparently, it's a very painful process, is putting the lime on, and I mean, it seems to sound similar to maybe waxing, but in a much more primitive type of way, putting the lime on and then ripping it off. It was apparently very painful, and he did it, nebuch, to his daughter, entire body at once. Tavu chazim no mesa, she died. Amar, and he complained. Cut the Bivi the Brati. Bivi killed my daughter. Following Bivi's ideas, he obviously didn't get all the information, but following Bivi's ideas, Rav Bivi's ideas is what caused this guy, the kusi, to kill his daughter. Amar Nachman. Rav Bivi the shasi shechra. Rav Nachman says like this: this that Rav Bivi had to even do this to his daughter is because of their menu, because of their diets that they ate. Over there, they drink beer in his household, and therefore, by bunsei tifla, his daughter requires this lime to smear on the body in order to make the body get rid of the hairs and make the skin shine. And unless she says, we don't drink beer, by bunsei tifla, we don't drink beer, and therefore, our daughters don't need this lime to look beautiful. If you look at the bottom Rashi in the page, Rashi says, what does beer do? Last 500 of the page, last Rashi of the page, the sheikher, the gadol, seir, umave esabasar. Sheikher, sorry, six words. Sheikher makes hair grow, and it makes the basar thick. It makes the basar thick, so it's, I guess, the opposite shiny. It makes it thick. Pashtus means is it makes the person gain weight. It makes the person gain weight, but it causes the basar not to shine. That's Rashi Saviat sticks in. It causes the basar not to shine, and it causes extra hair to grow. So therefore, they don't drink beer in his name. But Nachman said, therefore, he doesn't need to do this lime on his daughter. Okay, top of Yud Amud Aleph. Hahedyet Tefer Kedargei. A hedyet can be tefer. If you remember, by the way, just a side point, if you remember when we had that Gemara, this old Gemara about the differences between the Bnei Yisrael, the Ashiris and the Anias and the Bnei Melachim. So when we had this Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara sticks in and says, all Bnei Yisrael have a din of Bnei Melachim. And we should always treat, if possible, and all possible, all Bnei Yisrael, obviously they don't have money to afford it, they can't afford it, but they have the right to be treated like Bnei Melachim. All Bnei of Israel can be treated like Bnei Melachim. We had this Gemara in Shabbos, we had a Pesachim, I forgot where that part came up, but all Bnei Melachim have a din of, all Bnei Yisrael have a din of Bnei Melachim. Okay, says the Gemara, top of Yidam Aleph. He said in the Mishnah, the Hedyet Tefer Kedar, okay, a regular person could do, this end of the Mishnah, could do Maisa Hedyet, that's fine, but the expert's got to do it Machlev, he's got to do it in a little bit of unusual fashion. So let's explain both. What's a Hedyet, and then what does it mean Machlev? First Hedyet. Hekidom Hedyet, what's Hedyet? Says the Gemara, Amidu Abyanai Koshen Yachloitzi Mele Machlev Vazachas. Someone who can't draw out a needleful at one time. What does that mean? Rashi explains, what this seems to mean is he takes the needle and he stitches in, when he sews something, you go in and out. So he does a needle full of stitches without pulling out the needle, without pulling it out and kind of like tightening it. He's able to do a needle full and only tighten it afterwards, and it still works. As opposed to someone who's more of a layman has to stick the needle in and out and then pull up the string all the way to make sure it's tight, and then do the next one. Someone who's already an Uman, he knows how to do the whole needle's length at once without pulling it out. That's the first taich of the difference between a hedya and an Uman. They used to put at the edge of, people still do it, at the edge of a baguette, some people do it at the bottom of their pants, on the inside, they used to put like a hem, like another piece of material at the bottom in order, because at the edge of the begadim are easy to unravel, easy to fall apart. They used to put like a trim at the end of the baguette. So the ones who could do it looks even across the entire edge, that's considered Uman. The hedyet, even when he does it, it won't come out exactly even. They're not as expert to do it even. That's the simon of a hedyet. Okay. That's that Gemara about what's called a hedyet. So the Rush, he writes that the Gemara doesn't say any clear psak, which one's called hedyet. Is it the one who cannot stitch the whole needle's worth of stitches at once, or is it the one who cannot do the hem properly at the edge? And therefore the Rush says, since we don't know which is the person that qualifies as a hedyet, who's qualified, meaning if a person could do one and not the other, we're not sure if he could qualify as a hedyet, we have to be machmir. And if one could do any of the above, if he could either hem the edges perfectly, trim it perfectly, or he could do a needleful of stitches at once, he has to be machmir on chalamayit, and not so, he wouldn't classify as a hedyet. Only someone who cannot do either of these possibilities would qualify as a hedyet. That's a chumrah, that's the Rosh Paschal. The guy asks, what do you mean? The whole din of we're talking about chalamayit. It's machalik zamaram. The din, according to Rashi, subscribes to opinions that the din of meleches of Chalamayin is the Tidrabanan. He holds that, like that the Torah brings, that the Isser is son, the Isser Malacha. On Chalamayin is a din derabanan. So if it's essentially a suffix derabanan, why being machmish be mekel? That as long as one is one of the above, as long as he cannot do a needleful or he cannot sew the edge properly, either or should be enough. Why is the Rashi being machmir and saying you need to have both? As I frank the Gain. So the Gain answers that we can't take any singular psak, because if we take any one psak, then we'll be machmir like the other one. If we say that this is the deciding factor, then the other one would not be the deciding factor, and that's a chumra the other way. But again, the question is, unless I missed the guy's answer, the question is, so why not take both the kula? Why not take both the kula? So this was Emes brings the sign, which is very similar, very, very similar to what we had from the famous, we've just quoted this, he said many times, very good time chazer. The round at the end of Pesachim, the round asks about the arba cases. We know, there's a machlekes, we have supposed to have dalet cases, and there's a machlekes whether you're supposed to lean on the first two cases, the end of the Seba's makiv, or the last two cases, there's a of the Seba. We're not sure which one it is. So the halacha is that we do Haseba on all four. We say we have to do Haseba on all four kaisas. The whole thing is the Rabbanan. The only Mr. Rice is on Pesach night, of course, is eating matzah. Eating matzah, times of Beis Mikdash, is of course also eating matzah with mar with the Karm Pesach. But the Dal Kaisa certainly are Darabanan. If not, the Gadol Binuch also is Magid, is also Teresa. But the eating the Dal Kaisa is Darabanan. If Dal Kaisa is Darabanan, so why are we Machmir to do both? So the Ran famous, Rani Risha, the Ran says, because if we go Lakula, we're going to end up with nothing. The Chum Zichr said that you have to do the Geyser, you have to lean. To say when you're not sure, you have a Suffolk, you go Lakula, you gotta go Lakula. If you just go Lakula in a specific type of in one scenario, in a situation, you're not sure, you go Lakula by Darabonans. But if going Lakula is going to uproot the Darabonan Bechla, you're not going to have a anymore, you can't go Lakula. So the Sfasemes, to my understanding over here, is saying something very similar. Sfasemes says that if you go Lakula both ways, you're not going to be a Hedyot according to any of the opinions. We have opinion of Rabbiani says, Hedyot is someone who can't do a needleful. We have the opinion of Rabbi Reis Berkhanin says, one is a Hedyot is one who can't stitch a hem. But they both hold that the other thing does not make someone a Hedyot. If someone is still considered non-Hedyot, is considered an Uman. So if you go with both Kulas, you're not going to have Hedyot according to any of the Shitas. We can't go the Kula Darabanan where we don't fit according to any of the Shitas. As I said, Vasemis, a very Geshmaka Pshat. Now, one side point to this, Rambam, when he brings these halachas, Rambam doesn't bring any of the details. Rambam brings that one is allowed to sew on Chalamayin, as long as he does Mais Hedyot, not Mais Uman. Doesn't bring needle full of stitches at once, doesn't bring the hemming, the side of the edge, the trims properly. He just brings Maisa Hedyot. And the Beis Yosef elaborates, says beautiful. Beis Yosef says, and this actually would take care of the questions that we had in the rush in a whole different fashion. I mean, it's actually, I should say, it really strengthens the question of the rush, but it's a whole different approach. It takes care of the Sfas Emes' idea in the rush. That the Beis Yosef explains that Rambam holds that these two Amorim weren't even arguing. And it actually makes a lot of sense logically. A hedyot, the difference between a hedyot and uman is not necessarily one trait, one skill. The difference between a hedyot and uman can be many skills. So they're just giving different examples as to what separates the hedyot and the uman. So Rabbi Yana gave one skill, Rabbi Yosef gives another skill. Rambam was just saying any person who's missing in the skills to be an uman can sew on chalamayin. It's not one specific skill that if you have that skill, you for sure an uman. It just means if you don't have that skill, you're not an uman. So we give you a couple examples, and therefore l'chara either would be fine, and we wouldn't even have this Sfas Emes Kasha anymore. We wouldn't have this issue. We wouldn't be going through rush. We'd be saying that any one of these things missing, or others that aren't listed in the Gemara, other examples also of things that detract from the status, the shame as uman, would all be sufficient to allow one to sew on chalamayin because he'd be considered a hedyot according to Rambam. That is how Beis Yosef elaborates in the Rambam. Okay. We said the mission of a uman machlev, that a person who's skilled in uman, he's got to do it like a shina, he's machlev. What does it mean, machlev? My machlev, Rabbi Echamar Mafsia. Mafsia means he makes, it's like wide, he separates it wide steps, literally means like wide steps. It means wider stitches. You do the stitches wider than usual. Rabbi Bar Shmuel Amar Shine Kabbalah Sashaf, goes to the word shine, the teeth of a dog. What does it mean, teeth of a dog? Teeth of a dog are, some are higher, some are lower. So instead of being wider apart, it's not so much wider apart, they may be the same distance, but they're not an even line. They're not straight stitches on an even line. One's a little higher, one's a little lower. The first one explained, even in Rabbi Yechanan, how did he get towards machlev? Machlev means because the teeth of the dog sometimes are separated. Maybe they appear separated because some are higher, some are lower, but they're separated. They're mafsiyah. So they're both really explaining a teretz that fits into the word machlev based on the idea that the word machlev is from lashon of kelev, of a dog. They're just saying they're giving two different explanations of what the comparison to the dog is. Either it's that the stitches are further apart, or it's that the stitches are higher, lower. We said the Mishnah, Misagin, Samitis, and the Mishnah, you can lace up the beds to support the beds. My Misagin, my Matkin. The Mishnah says that, that you can be sarga in the mita, and Rabbi Yossi says you can even be mematchem, which we said means like to tighten the beds. So we discussed back then they used to have the bed frame, and they would have this like almost like tic tac toe they'd make out of the straps to support the mattress, the hay on top of those straps. So when we said misargin, the Mishnah said, "What does that?" Mishnah says you can be misargin, but he says you can also be mematchen. Mematchen means to be make tighter. What's the difference between mematchen and misargin? What are these two things? So Rav Dimi came and said, you have Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi arguing both in the name of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan. I guess it's Machlokes, who exactly said what. Here it is. Chad Amar, Misargin Shesiveiriv. Misargin is Shesiveiriv, means like tic-tac-toe. Shesiveiriv means both directions, length and width of the bed. So you're allowed to weave it length and width of the bed. Matra means shasib leiriv. Matra is a level below. It means just let's say they were just going one direction lengthwise, just tightening it lengthwise without doing the crosswise. That is the mematchen, which is a level below misargin. Mechanamar, no, misargin is shasib leiriv. Misargin is only shasib leiriv is only the length without the cross going across. Matra means a step below, less than that. You're not putting the straps lengthwise, just not cross. You're not even putting lengthwise. It already was lengthwise. You're simply loosening those straps that became, sorry, tightening those straps that became loose. So again, according to the first Mahalach, you let it do Shesi and Eir. If you let a Mamish put the straps on both ways, crisscross throughout the entire bed. That's Misargin. And the opinion of Matchin says, no, you can't do both ways. You only have to do lengthwise. But again, you're putting on the straps. According to the second opinion of the Machlekes, you're able to be Misargin, which is more intensive. You're able to do just lengthwise, but again, you're putting on from scratch. Whereas what Matchim is, no, those that are already there lengthwise, you could just tighten, but you're certainly not able to put on from scratch both directions, that according to anyone. Tais actually addresses, according to the first opinion that we just had, the Misargin means Shesiv Erev. Tais says, how on earth can I do that? Tema, as Tais says, Teich mut lasis melachik yai b'leishin. Tais leaves his kasha. How is it shayach that you're able to do such a melacha of tying the straps on Shesiv Erev onto a bed, lichatchila on chalamay, it's mamish a full flesh melacha. As the effect Taisus, the Taisus Rashi gives an interesting chap. If a person won't be able to sleep properly, maybe that falls under the getter of Davar HaAvid. Very interesting. And maybe it's called the Davar Oven. And if it's Davar Oven, that would make it Mutter. I'm not sure why it's not called Tzurche HaMayan. I don't have to come on to Davar Oven. I would think that you should be able to come on to Tzurche HaMayan. But he says that even though it's a malacha, it's Davar Oven, and therefore it's permissible. Interesting teretz from the Taisus Rush. It seems like something more than what we think. Maybe it was possible to sleep some other way, but it just wouldn't be the same type of sleep. So maybe it wouldn't be Tzurche HaMayan alone. Maybe a Davar Oven, because it's going to cause him some sort of loss by not sleeping. I'm not sure. An interesting Shaka Vatari. Okay. Says the Gemara. Any, is it so, the way we just explained these terms of Misargin and Mematchen? Meaning, we're saying Misargin means to put the, according to the second Mahalach, it means only to put the ropes one direction, but not the, not both directions, because that would for sure be also according to everyone in the second Mahalach. Vatani, Rav Techliv Barshal, Vashavin Shem Afshilin Chavam Lechatchila. We have a member from Rav Techliv Barshal that everyone agrees you can't twist new ropes on Chalamite. To twist new ropes from scratch, that you can't do. Now, Bishlam Adam Misargim Shesiv Erev, according to the first Mahalach we had, that you're allowed to be Misarig, Misarig means Shesiv Erev. It means both length and cross. Umatchen Shesiv Erev. Umatchen means length without going across. Okay. Hand it to Tani Rav Techliv Barshal. Rav Techliv Barshal came along and said, Vashavin Shem Afshilin Chavam Lechatchila. But both agree, you cannot go and twist new ropes lechatchila, meaning the chiddush is even the opinion that allows shesiv erev, which we just said according to Taisus, such a chiddush that Taisus is sharing how it's taka mutter even the ma'isa according to that opinion. But we're coming to say twisting new ropes, making new ropes from scratch, that you can't do even according to my number who allowed doing shesiv erev on the bed. El my number misargin shesiv erev, but if misargin itself means shesi b'leirev, so everyone's agreeing that shesiv erev is usher. Even the my number is more lenient, is allowing only shesi without erev. Lengthwise without going across. And mematchen is shemay rafi matchen. That just means if the straps are already there, then became loose, you have to tighten them. But that's it, you can't do more. Hashash shesiv erev amalai. So according to everyone, we've already established shesiv erev is not mutter. Chavom machil abay. You need a memra of Rav Techliv Barshal to say v'shavet. Everyone agrees you can't make straps from new. Of course, everyone makes straps from new. No one agrees they can do shesiv erev. Certainly on existing straps to make new ropes. L'chayr it's pashit. You won't be able to do that. So l'chayr the shaka v'taya is not as geschmack. Rav Techliva's Barshal's memra only fits if you hold Misargin means Shesiv Erev. If it's better according to that Malach, then according to the Malach that we go one step lower, that Misargin itself only meant lengthwise and not crisscross kasha. The Mar says Takashver. It's Takashver. It's a riot to that first side. It's Shver on the second side. Now the Ritva's bothered. What we know, we've had this you say many times. Kasha is mashma. It's Shver, but as they say, from a kasha start minished. Right? You don't die from a kasha, you go, not just you go weiter, meaning there could be an answer. Tiyufta means you schlugged it up. Tiyufta means it's ice gefrekt, right? That opinion is schlugged up. Tkasha means not schlugged up. It's just schwer. Ask Ritter, why is it not schlugged up? Why is it not schlugged up? The chur is a very, very stark raya. What's missing in this raya? So Ritter wants to suggest that we may have thought that without strings at all, you don't have a bed. Meaning, ironically enough, even though we're saying making strings from scratch is a more of a malacha than crisscrossing, very good, looks like Eliezer was thinking of this far, very good, that crisscrossing alone is more of a malacha maybe. Maybe it's more, I'm sorry, making strings from scratch is more of a malacha than crisscrossing, maybe that's true, but even so, when we focus on what's considered necessity, what's considered mamash tzairach, not having strings at all means not having a bed. So maybe that would be mutter, even though once you have strings, just going lengthwise, not as gushmak, but at least you have a bed, and therefore you can't do shasav erev. But to say you cannot make strings in the first place, when if you don't have strings, you don't have a bed, I would think that maybe that'd be more lenient. Therefore, it's not such a kasha, meaning even though the Gemara did ask us a kasha, the Gemara said shver, we could have answered that no, it still needed srichas, so we need to tell you that according to everyone, making strings from scratch is still no good. I would have thought that perhaps that would be good, even if everyone agrees that shasav erev is not mutter. Okay. Is there a taker opinion that says that misargin means shasi without erev, length without going across? The mita is considered a finished kli. Once you have the conversation with the gabe being royal kabbal tuma, and it's only kabbal tuma if it's a finished kli. So once you have three boxes, when you've created three boxes, how much of that means by putting one strap across and you have a couple lengthwise, so automatically you probably have, once you have two going lengthwise and one across, you have three boxes. How much means those three boxes? Well, you've done three rows of boxes. I'm not sure. Okay. But three boxes is what, again, this is a Mishnah in Kalim in the 16th Barak, Ayin Shum, exactly what the three boxes means. Okay. How many times you slash bottom when you have three boxes that are created? So now, according to this, it's very clear that Rameir is discussing that when is it considered Mekabel Tumah? Mishi Yisreg Ba. When you do Yisreg. Yisreg clearly means Shasi Ve'erev in this context. That's how you're making the boxes. How could anyone argue in our Sugya? How could we have a Maram argue what Mishi Yisreg means in our Mishnah? Isn't it clear over there? Rameir is saying Mishi Yisreg means crisscross. Says Gemara, you're right. Elik Yasa Ravid Amar. This is Taka, like the guys we said a minute ago. Gemara didn't say the word Tifta, but it's Taka clear. This is clear Raya that Yisreg means Shasav Erev. Says Gemara, Elik Yasa Ravid Amar Mimisragim Kuam Leplegi the Shasav Erev. When it comes to Misreg, everyone agrees it's Shasav Erev. Taka means lengthwise and across. Eliki Plegi Mimam Tachin. The Machlekes is when we say Mematchin, I should say, Mematchin, what does that mean? Marsa Matchin Shasi Ve'erev. One says Mematchin just means one step below. Shasi Ve'erev, Masargin is Shasi Ve'erev. And Mematchin is Shasi the length without the air without going across. Umarsa Vashemaya roughly Mematchin. Now, those says no. What it means is if it was soft, you can tighten it. That's all. But not even the Shasi below Erev. Mace Fabius Akasha on this. Masargin is Amita, Vainzer Chlemish and Matchin. The Tanakam is a different mayor. Rameir says you can misarg the mita, which kind of means cross both ways. And I have to tell you, they can be matchin. Rabesi Yomer, but matchin adle misargin. Rabesi says you could do matchin, you could tighten it, but you cannot be misarg. V'yesh aymim e matchin liker. And then the Yesh Aymer says you can't be matchin at all. That's more machmir than any sheet we've had till now. You can't be matchin at all. Now, Bishlam adam matchin shes le'erev. If a matchin means shesi b'le'erev, that could be a tzad. Had done the asu Yesh Aymer le'fluge, it makes sense that Yesh Aymer could possibly come and argue and say, you can't be matchin even doing shes le'erev, you can't do. However, if it means simply that it became loose, that you're just tightening it, you tell me you can't view that. Is there any sheet that you can't view that? Mar says yes, there is such a sheet. In when it's loose, it doesn't mean the bed's not usable. It means there's some spots of the bed where it sags a little more than other spots. Well, you know what you could do? You could put some materials there, some clothing. Mamule mani means literally put some garments there, put some clothing there. You could even out the bed, but the spots that are sagging, you could put some clothing there that make the bed even. Since there's other eitzes what to do without tightening it, then yes, there could be a number that says it's usher even to tighten. So we end up having, not in the Mishnah actually, in this most recent Raisa, very clear three-way Mechleikas Tanayim as to what one's allowed to do on Chalamayim with this bed. Again, that's irrelevant, we don't use these types of beds anymore. But what one's allowed to do, you have a mayor that says they allowed to be Masarik even, and certainly Matchin, you have Raisi saying that Mematchin, whichever Mechleikas, what that means exactly, but not Masargin, and we have Yeshem says not even Matchin, Lamaisa, that seems to be at the Mahalach of the Shulchan Aruch is like Rameir. Some of the Rishonim don't want to say we should pass like a basic, because we know typically as a klal, we have Rabbeisi Nimuka Imai. We say the logic, the Svara is with their basic. When he argues with the other Tanaim, we say Nimuka Imai, but over here it seems to be that the Paiskin Paska, that the Shulchan Aruch is Paska is like Rameir. Okay. So like the Mishnah. Mamidim.
Nemukizim is only in the Mishnah. The Shittas at home is only in the
Mishnah. Oh, very good. Very good. Stuff is Rosh Kayach. Very good, Vidin. Yes, that's familiar. Taka. Right. Leah points out that the idea of basically Mukiyame is perhaps only when it's in the Mishnah. It's not when it's quoted the Braises. And this is Taka. We're quoting this. It's clearly from a Braisa. And therefore, it fits very well that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pasken like Rebbeisi. Very good. Shkayach. Mamidim Tanav Vikirayim Virechayim Bamayad. You let us set up a Tanav Vikirayim. So we know Tanav Vikirayim, the different types of ovens that are, whether they have one opening on top for one, or an opening on top for two pots, one pot or two pots. So you let us set up these pots, these ovens, Bamayad Chal Mayad. Now, what does it mean setting up? We'll get there in a second, actually. The Virechayim, and also Virechayim, a millstone. That's the gears that we have. If you look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't say clearly not like that, but he just says Mamidim Tanavikarayim, doesn't say Rechayim, doesn't say Bamayan. It sounds like Rashi, by us at least, didn't have this girsa. He doesn't mention any word in Rashi about Rechayim at all. He doesn't mention about Rechayim, so it sounds like Rashi didn't have the girsa of Rechayim. Okay. Rabbi Yudaimer, Ein Mechavish and Eser Rechayim Betchila. You cannot be Mechavish, that the Gemara is going to discuss right away what that means, Mechavish. It means some sort of a gouging, some type of hole. We'll see in the Gemara right away. You're not allowed to do the Rechayim Betchila on, you can't do the making the hole initially on the Rechayim. On Chalamayid. Now the question is getting back to the first line of the Mishnah, the first words. What does the word Mamidim mean? What does Mamidim mean? It means making from scratch. So that's what Rashi seems to learn. If you look at the Rashi in the Mishnah, again, Rashi doesn't have Rechayim, but Rashi seems to be learning in the Mishnah that you're Mamish making the oven, the Tanner, the Krayim, from scratch. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. You're making it from, you're building it from nothing. Okay. The issue, Lechara, is that it's a Chiddush. To say that for an oven is mamish, you can't cook the food without the oven. So it's machshir ech nefesh. Rechayim is really a machshir of a machshir. It's a double level of machshir ech nefesh. Is it mutter mamish to start from scratch? So Rashi, again, in our Mishnah, we point that already twice, doesn't seem to discuss the word rechayim. Rashi in the Ksav Yad, very mechudishtik mahalach, Rashi learns that there is a gears of rechayim in the Mishnah, but it means two different things. Rechayim versus Tanner. By Tanner, you're setting it up from scratch. By Rechayim, it means you already have the two stones already, and you're simply just setting it up one on top of the other. So the word Mamidim would have a different meaning by Tanner and Kriyim, as opposed to by Rechayim. Rechayim, you're only setting it up, and I guess even though it's a machshir to machshir, that it's okay. Whereas by Tanner and Kriyim, since it's a regular machshire, Eichel Nefesh, that you let it set it from scratch. That seems to be the understanding in the Rashi in Ksav Yad. Comes along Taisu Rashi says, no, Mamidim by everything. He has the girsa that we have in our Mishnah of Mamidim, also like the Rashi Ksavyan, Mamidim Tanav Ekrayim Rechayim, and his Malach seems to be the simplest, and that you're not doing anything from scratch. You're setting up existing components. You have pieces ready, but it was never made. It was never fully fashioned. You're setting up the existing pieces, Saibay Tanav, Saibay Ekrayim, Saibay Rechayim Amayid. You can do all of the above Amayid, but not from scratch, only when the pieces are in place. The one issue a little bit is that the Lashon Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Mechavish Rechayim Betchila, you can't do the initial gouging. It sounds like we are talking about, I mean, it could be the pieces were in place, but it wasn't, whatever holes were needed weren't done yet, and he's adding that you can't make that hole either. We'll see the Gemara exactly what does it mean, this Mechavish. Let's see. My Mechavish.
Now what it is, like Rashi, it's a little bit difficult because Rabbi Yehuda sounds like he's arguing on what was just said. I don't know if that's the point you're making just now. But say, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So you say, according to Rashi, we're not Goris Rechayim Bechal, you mean?
Right. So, and if you're Goris Rechayim, it's very good. Because you're allowed to even make it Lechat Chilo, you make it with the gouges. Dr. Yehuda, don't make gouges.
Ah, Maha. Right. So by Mechavishin, what does it mean, this gouging? What is the gouging that we're discussing? Rav Yehuda Omer, this is Rav Yehuda Amir, of course. Rav Yehuda says, Menaka Rechaya means the grooves in the stones. In order for the stones to properly crush the grains that are stuck inside it, it needs to have grooves in the stones so when it spins, it catches the grains and crushes it. If it's all smooth, it'll just keep rolling over the grains. Rav Yehuda Omer, Bas Eina. It's actually a hole. Aina means like eye. It's like an eye hole. It's basically a feeder. When you have two heavy stones, one on top of the other, how are you feeding the grains inside? So you got to drill a hole in the upper stone to pour the grain, to feed the grain in between the two stones. Okay, to Machlekes, what exactly this hole is that was saying, that Rebbe the Mishnah was saying, Rebbe, who the Tana was saying, you cannot make on Chalamayit. Meisvei. Answer the Markash on the second Malach.
Just a little point on that. I think it's that's where the grain falls into after it's been crushed. Neifelis, not we put it in Noisden from the top, but Rashi says Neifelis. It's like in the middle of the two stones so that the ground wheat can escape. Now, how you got the new wheat in, I don't know. So I
don't think so. I don't think it's what it means. I think it means the way I said it. I'm pretty sure it's the way I said it. We can, listen, both could be needed. You say, the truth is, you need both. You need flour to come out eventually, and you need the grains to go in. So both things are necessary. So I can't disagree. Both things are necessary, but I'm not sure where you see Rashi different than what I said. I understood the Rashi exactly what I said. I still do. He's saying nefelos is mashma after. Okay, yeah. The way I'm saying it should be the tevu is poured into it, not nefelos. Okay. I hear. I'm still not going to change my pshat yet. Second tomorrow. Meisvei. Mamidim, we'll look for more rayas. Mamidim, tana v'chayim v'chayim b'mayim. You're able to set up an oven, a stove, or the rechayim on chalamayim. Uvash le'igmar malachtan. As long as one's not gamer the malacha, that means you got to do it with a little of a shinai. You can't complete the new oven or stove or rechayim that you made. Different blazer. The chalamayim. I think you can complete it. You don't have to do any shinai. You got to complete it. Rabbi Yudaimim Rishmai, in the name of Rabbi Yazar. Rabbi says, Mamidim sechadasha mechabsha say shana. Here's the key ray after our question. You let to set up the new one, and you let to be mechabish gouge an old one. That's going to be a ray. I'll get back there in a second. So I'm saying, no, you can't gouge at all. So there's a discussion whether you can gouge it or not. But Yehuda is saying that you can set up a new one, and you can gouge an old one, which is like you read in the Mishnah, says you can't gouge a new one. But what does it mean you can gouge an old one? According to the first pshat that we said, that Rav Yehuda the Amira, that Menachar means to make grooves into the stone. It makes sense. You can find that the stones over time, it's smoothed out. So you gotta refashion these grooves. Hadim Shach will be shining. You find an old one would have a requirement, a necessity to make new grooves. If it means cutting a hole, Yishana. Why would an old one need a hole? How are we using it till now? The hole doesn't get filled up. Why would you have to cut a new hole in a mill? Obviously, this mechabshin in this context doesn't mean a hole. It means the grooves. Answers the Gemara, not true. Going to kaboy larvuche tve purta. And so maybe he wants to widen the existing hole a little bit. The hole taka exists, and he wants to widen it a little more. And we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda was saying b'shem Rabbi Eliezer that when you have a yeshana, you could do it, mechabshis yeshana, but you can't make a new one from scratch. You could widen existing, but you can't make a new one from scratch. That's good for what he's saying, but enachami, we're talking about an existing hole that was there, it just needs to be made wider. Okay, a maisa that relates to this, Rav Huna Shami Lehugavar, the Kamenaka Rechai B'chol Damayed. Rav Huna heard a fellow who was cunning, being menaker, again, whatever menaker means, actually, we said menaker rechai, we said, means making grooves in the millstone on chalamayid. Amar mayan hai. Who is this fellow? Ischa gufe dekam machal chula demayda. His body should become chayil, like desecrated, because he's desecrating chalamayid. His body should become chayil, because he's being mechalal chalamayid. So the Gemara just elaborates, Savarla ki yesh ayimrim. He obviously was like the yesh ayimrim that says that ein mechabesh kol ikir. Remember, we just quoted the Brisa yesh ayimrim who says you cannot make gouges at all, whether it's new or whether it's old, you can't gouge. How do we know Rav Huna holds that way? Very simply, because Rav Huna only heard what's going on. He didn't see what type of stone it was. He didn't see if it was a new mill or an old mill. He heard someone making grooves, and just by hearing it, he said that person is being mechal yomtiv. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Eliezer, if it's an old one, it would be permissible. It's only us and a new one. It must be the fact that he says this person is being mechal yomtiv without knowing what type of mill it was. It must be he holds it's usher whether it's new whether it's old. He holds like the Yeshayimim. That's usher in any situation. That's how the Ritzvah explains how the Gemara knows that Savla Kesh Aimrim. Darsh of Chama. Rav Chama came along and he darshened the halach as follows. Naker Rechaim Mayed, you let it cut grooves into the millstone on Yamtiv. This discussion, which Tana, Rav Chama is not a Tana, he's a Mayra. Which Tana is he going like? The discussion of the Rishonim, how he fits, maybe it's considered not Maisa Uman, and he goes like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, which is really what Liza started pointing out before. Maybe it goes like Tanakama Mishnah. Again, obviously going with the Gersa that the Rechaim is in the Gersa of our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say that he came Mechavish, and according to Tanakama, you allowed to do everything, and there's no problem. So perhaps Rav Chama goes like Tanakama of Mishnah. That seems to be the simplest Malach. In the name of Rameir, they said, even the horse that one rides. This is a related but separate din. The horse that one rides, or the donkey that one rides, mutlitz zipanayim b'chalamayid. One's allowed to trim the hooves on chalamayid. You're allowed to trim the zipanayim, the hooves on chalamayid. Why? So the first one was saying because if the Rashi says if look at the bottom Rashi of the page, if you don't trim the hooves, they won't be able to walk as far because lavatzar. If they have a tzar, they can't go the same distance. So in order to enable them to go as be able to walk as far as you want, so they need to have the hoofs cut. So it's all part of what you need, and therefore it's permissible. Yet to stomp tending to your animals, it's all permissible. Before we turn the page, even jump into the bottom taisvis. Susha rechav alav pirish taisvis. Taisvis quoting from taisvis. I'm not sure if that's what that means exactly. He's quoting from a tesefta maybe. Letzayrich hamayid. Taisa is quoting some sort of tesefta, and this that we say it's mutter to ride the horse is dafkalat tzerich hamayid. Stam riding horse, you only riding the horse if it's tzerich hamayid. However, stam is like to ride the horse for fun. That would have had to be usher. The Rush brings something similar to this. Taisvis. Now, the obvious question that comes out, the obvious shaila that comes out, very relevant, l'chalamaisa, is, could you go horseback riding? Could you go horseback riding chalamayid? Here we have very clearly, the Gemara is saying you let it trim the nails of the horse to ride the horse on Yamdu, on chalamayid. And the Taisvis is bringing the Rush also seems to be qualifying and saying it's only when it's mamash tzarech, it's needed for the mayid. But if you don't need for the mayid, you can't do it. Now, really, you can go two directions with this. First of all, the question is, what's the problem? The problem of riding an animal, even on Shabbos or Yom Tov, is you may come to break a branch to go with the animal. And that itself, right, you may come to be either a malacha on Shabbos. That's a gzera d'rabbana, they make a malacha be every night of Shabbos. On Chalamayid, we're also going to have Gzeira, you can't ride the animal because you may come to break a branch to go the animal, a little bit of a chiddush. To say, I mean, if you hold melachas on the rice on chalamayid, then after if you hold the rabbanon, a little bit more, much more of a chiddush, number one. Number two, the first discussed, by the way, this question was posed to Rav Nasha Klein's itself. This question was posed to Rav Nasha Klein. So he brings this a couple of svaras, what potentially can be makel. First of all, he brings that there are those that explain in the Rush that the Rush meant that. It's usher to tend to the needs of the animal just for purposes of tending to the needs of the animal. But if you're riding it, if you want to ride the animal, then it's okay. So it doesn't mean, meaning when it says in the Mishnah Tzarchei Mayid, it just means to do bechina means just to tend to it like a heavenly Marnam Beis, tending to the field, tending things for no reason, not related to the mind. That's that you can't do. But if you're actually riding it, why you're riding it, would it make such a difference? As long as you're actually using the animal, you're riding it, not just I'm tending the animal, that would be permissible. It's a different interpretation of the Rush, which seems to be quoting the same Taisefta, or whatever this is, as Taisefis, but it's a different interpretation. It's a little more lenient, number one. Number two, there's a Beis Yasef. The Beis Yasef is black and white. That one is able to take a horse to be metayel, to go like on a shpatzir, to be metayel, to go like touring, so to speak, on chalamayin. So Beis Yosef says, it's permissible. So that would lend itself to say that one could take a horse to go on a ride, horseback riding, it's mamish like the Beis Yosef. The biggest chilek is, the Beis Yosef was pashto talking about using the horse to get from place to place. You're literally using the horse to travel. It's like using our cars. Not so much, yeah, maybe it's like a geschmack, but it's to travel from place to place. Most places that do horseback riding, they find within the city, they have a big circle somewhere, even out of the city. The people that take the horseback riding, they have, you're going in some circle, you're not going to any, you're not really going to any specific destination, right? You're just riding in a circle in some field in some empty area, and you're just going around. It's the geschmack is the riding the horse itself, maybe along the water, but you're riding the horse. It's not so much where you're going, it's no destination. So would that qualify? It's interesting, Rav Nasha Klein, and so it seems to be the svaras to be makel. The svaras to be makel based on the basis of the other interpretation of the Rush. Rav Nasha Klein ends off the shtickle, and he says, but it pains me, this is the shilas that I'm getting about what do a chalamayin. People don't go horseback riding throughout the year. It's not a normal thing. It's not a regular thing. So chalamayin, it's not mamish yantiv, of course, you know that. But it's a yantiv, it's still mayid. And that's the activity to go riding on animals, that's the activity we choose. It pains me, so whether or not it's usher, it pains me that this is the shaila that I have to respond to. Azay zak the Rav Nasha Klein, that's out. Okay, says more, top of Omid Beis. This ain't allowed to trim the nails or the hoofs of the animals that you're riding in order to go a distance, so you they won't be comfortable, they can't ride, so that's mutter, only because you're riding it. However, top of a maze, if you're doing the donkey that was the mill, sometimes it's very hard to keep spinning that big stone to grind the grains that we've been discussing, this millstone. So you attach it to a donkey and have the donkey walk around in a circle, so the donkey could carry much more, has much more power, of course. So to trim for the donkey, that you don't need, that's usher. The reason why the Gemara is moving, it's not a moment that's mutter, but as far as that's usher is because how much grinding do you need to do for Yom Tov? Typically, you don't need that much. For Yom Tov alone, you don't need that much. And the amount that you need wouldn't entail cutting the nails of the donkey, because otherwise it's going to hurt him to walk around in the circle. The mouth has to walk in the circle, not so much, and therefore it's not a reason enough to cut the tent to the supernium of the donkey. However, we have an Amar that argues. He's going to be making a bunch of things now. Avuda was Mako, he ruled it permissible to trim the hooves of the donkey that's specifically for the mill. Look, Birechaya, and also to set up a pair of millstones. He was matter. Look, Birechaya. Again, goes like the halacha of the Mishnah that you're setting up existing stones. You're not making it from scratch. It's black and white. Look, Birechaya means setting it up, like we said in the Mishnah. Ulamivni means building it. He's being matter both. Ulamivni amas Birechaya, and also build the frame for this mill. Ulamivni uria, and to build a barn. So Yehuda was much more lenient as to what one could do chalmaid in order to achieve what he needs for the tzarech chalmaid. He's matter to the extent of even building a frame and building the mills from scratch, and of course setting up the existing stones for a millstone. Now here's a shaman in the gears of this next Amira. The gears that we seem to have is Rava, but there's parentheses around it, and the Maseres HaShas switches it to Rav. We'll explain it. There's a Geshmak Pshat. I forgot where I heard it from, but an Alam Dish Pshat in this switch, we'll say in a second. Rav Shara, we're going to go with Rav. Rav Shara Lesruki Susya. Rav says it's permissible to comb a horse with a metal comb. Ulmivne Apraktika, and to build like a trough is like where the animals get their food, a feeding trough. They bend down. This is more like one that you'd hang like a sack around the animal's head, and as feed in the sack that he's able to eat from. So you're allowed to do that on Chalamayit as well. Ulmivne Itzba, to build a bench, to build a stone bench. All that's permissible. The question the Farshim asks is, we know in Mechlekes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda whether there's an Isra on Davishim Miskavin, whether Davishim Miskavin is Asr on Shabbos itself, on Yantav itself, whether Davishim Miskavin is a problem. Combing with a comb, what's the issue? The issue of combing the horse with a metal comb is you may come to scrape the body, you may come to pull out a hair or scrape the body and make a mum. You may come, you're not obviously intending to do that, but it may happen. That's Davishim Miskavin. We pass Rabbi Shimon, that's permissible. So what's the Chiddush Rav that we're allowing it to be done on Chalamayin? You could probably do it according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be able to do it on Yantav itself. Certainly, Chalamayin, what is the Chiddush? So, if you go to Girsa of Rav, it's beautiful. We know we had in Shabbos many times. It was Machlekes Rav and Shmuel Heli Paskin. Rav was Machmer like a Yehuda, and he held Davi Shem Eskavin as Usser. Shmuel Paskin like Rav Shimon, Lakula Davi Shem Eskavin's mother. But Rav Lashitase, Rav holds Davi Shem Eskavin as Usser, so he would hold that you wouldn't be able to comb on Yantav itself. So that's very Geshmak. Rav was Matid, and a Chalamayit, you can comb the horse. So that fits very well to Girsa. Rav Sharulus Ruke, not Rava. It's Rav, not Rava. That would be a Geshmak, a reason to be Geris Rav, not Rava. However, we're going to have now a series of, I don't know the exact amount, a series of seven, eight, nine psakim from Rava, so it would fit very well if the prior one was for Rava as well. So you can go either way, whether the gear says Rav or Rava. Says Gemara. Rava Shar Lemishkol, dump. Rav, it's over here. They don't give a count over here. They say eight. It's eight psakim coming out after Rava. Rava was matir to let blood of an animal in chalamayin. I'm going to buy a tiny mesmeilach. I have a brice that backs you up. Letting blood of the animal is mutter. Makiz and dam beima. You have to be makiz dam for the beima. Ve'mayinim refuah beima b'chalashamayin. You have to be makiz dam, let blood, and you don't hold back refuah from the animal on chalamayin. Jump into taisus, important taisus. So taisus, I mean, important if you have animals. Ve'mayinim refuah beima. You don't hold back refuah from beima. So taisus, refuah beima sheish b'malacha iri. We're talking about refuah where there's a malacha. We're not stam saying you have to give a pop a pill and give him a Tylenol. That's for sure mutter. The question would be doing a refuah, which actually entails a malacha. Why? So let's just speak outside. Because what's the whole issue of humans taking medication on Shabbos? The issue of humans taking medication on Shabbos is we're scared. Gzeira, it's a gzeira darbanan. You make up to do shchikas amanim. You make up to grind up whatever is needed to make medications. So we make up to ever istaraisa, and therefore, unless a person is mamish a chayla, darbanu gezer that unless it's a chayla that neifel mishkav or the like, he should not take medicine on Shabbos because gzeira you make up to make medication. Now this whole gzeira that you make up to make a medication is because he's not well and he loses track of where he's at. He'll be ever istaraisa. When it comes to a person's animal, he never loses himself. A person typically is not going to lose his mindset of what's affected Shabbos and he can't do malacha for an animal. So ironically enough, the malacha is you're always allowed to give medicine to your animal. Every Shabbos, you're allowed to give medicine to your animal. That's not a chiddush. What can't you do for an animal on Shabbos? You cannot do an actual malacha. That you can't do. And here we're saying, says Taisvis, a chalamayit, you're even allowed to do malacha to heal the animal. But on Shabbos, an animal is more lenient than a person. You're allowed to give medicine to an animal, even if it's not mamisha, sakano, or neifel mishkav, because animal, it was never concerned in the first place. Okay, that's such a good you say. It's not just about animals. It's a good you say to know that the idea of refuah is only when a person is in a matzah, he may lose himself. That's part of the svara, why meichel briyim, vitamins that maybe one of the svaras to be matir, those type of things, when someone's healthy, just preventative measures, maybe permissible as well. One of the svaras to say it's mutter is not just that it's food, it wasn't part of the gezeira, is that he's not in a matziv that their bone had to come in the first place. Whole takana was, where the person's in a matziv being sick, he's not well. If he's well, he's not in that matziv, and that's one of the only svaras, but one of the svaras why that can be more lenient when it comes to taking a preventative or taking preventative medication. For example, there could be a chun issues over there, but taking medicine, if he didn't know some reason about the Shabbos, so he's a fast, let's say, he's nervous about headache coming on later, taking medicine before the headache comes on could be more lenient because he's not even a chayla. Okay. Rav Shara L'Tzachsuche Kurme, there wasn't a psak, there was just a lumdas. Rav Shara L'Tzachsuche Kurme, Rav was matir to press clothes of chalamayit. My time is simple. My said you, pressing clothing is not mamash a geyetz, as we call it normally. Geyetz, which is pressing the clothing, is a ma'isahegyet. It's not considered the work of an uman, and therefore it's permissible. Rav Amar Ritzel, Rav Ami, Amar Chizah. However, kitri biri asiri, pleading, aver means specifically a sleeve, pleading a sleeve, or pleading in general, making pleats, that's already a ma'isa uman, my time a ma'isa umanu. That's already considered a ma'isa uman, and therefore it's prohibited. Amar Rava, Manda Miskla Ara, another psak Rava, this is psak number three. Man de miskal ara, one who wants to take away different like stones or different hills from the ara, from the land, adaita de beit dari. If he's doing it to create a flat area to do threshing of grains, which of course he could do in chalamayit, he wants to thresh the grains in order to have grains to make his chalav with. So that's mutter shari adaita de ara. But if he's doing it to make the land flat for cultivating the land, of course that's us. You can't do that chalamayit. Hey kadamina, how do we know? How is it clear what his intention is? Muli, I mean, the guy in his mind can know what he's doing. But the Rav explains, the way you do it will also indicate. Muli b'muliyam, v'nitzah v'nitzah. If he takes a mound that's a little higher up, and he gets rid of the mound, and he puts it on top of another mound, so he's not leveling the entire ground, he's just leveling a certain area, and adrab, he's making a part of the ground that's already not level, even more not level, that's okay. And similarly, nitzah v'nitzah means opposite. If he, in a place that was dug, if he's digging a hole, let's say, he's digging a hole, and he puts the dirt next to by other holes, so over there, he's not fixing the entire area, he's fixing one specific area, that's permissible. However, if he takes the extra mound, earth, and puts it into a nearby hole, thereby creating the entire field, the entire area to be flush, to be level, that is more than what he needs for threshing. Threshing doesn't need such a big area, and that's an indication that he's doing it to fix the land. Says Amara, Adaita de Bidari, that's for threshing. However, if he's only fixing one area, not the entire area, however, Shakal Muli Vishad Benitza, if he takes the mount and he fills up the hole with the mount, Adaita Ara, that's clearly he's doing Adaita Ara, and that's prohibited on Chalmayit. Fourth side, from Rava, Haman de Zachi Zichi, someone is clearing out like the twigs and the little branches from the land on Chalamayin. So it depends. I'd like to see if he needs the wood, the twigs for his firewood, for fuel, shari, permissible. I'd like to the Arab, if he's doing it to improve the land, again, then it's asr. Hey, Chadami, how do you know? Shokal Rav Rivichavi Tizutri, if he takes only the big ones, leaves the small ones, that's clear. That's TV. The big ones is better, the bigger, the better for the firewood. And you leave the small ones, so you're leaving the field still messed up, the field still needs to be cleaned for cultivation, for making it fit for planting. So it's great, that's clear, right? You're doing it only for the wood, and it's permissible. And that's TV. However, Shokal Rav Rivichavi, if he takes the big and the small, you don't really need the small ones, it's a schlep, you don't really need them to take it for the fire. The fact you're taking oil, that must mean that you're coming to clean up the land, and that's problematic. Mamarava, fifth psak. Haman the pasuk ma'ilara, one who opens up a gate of the water into the land. So it's a very interesting scenario over here. You have a river nearby that has fish, and his land is very close to where the river is. So he wants to create an opening from this. Actually, sounds like the beginning of the Masechta, and it will connect very slightly, but he wants to create an opening from the river that some of the water from the river with the fish should channel off into his field. And the way it would work is that as the water runs through the field, eventually the fish that come with it will end up being stuck on dry land in the middle of his field. And that's a way of trapping fish without being busy fishing. You just create a channel that some of the river flows into the field and it'll end up naturally having some fish. So we say as follows. The question is, if he's doing it to irrigate his field, it's problematic. Now, of course, this way it connects to the Daf Beis. The Masechta only we're talking about a field that was not a field of Beis Shlachan. If the first word is the Masechta, Mashke Beis Shlachan, you're allowed to water an irrigation field that requires the water on Chalamayit. That's mutter anyway. We're talking about a field that's not a Beis Shlachan, a field that, let's say, was never watered before. It's not your issue over here. You have no right. We're talking about a field that you don't really have a right to water that field right now. You're doing it specifically for catching fish, and therefore saying it's permissible. But if you're doing it to water the field, then it's going to be Asr. That's the same idea as we had the prior cases, if you're doing it for what you need for chalamayin, it's fine. If you're doing it, even though you are helping the field, like we had in the past, getting rid of some of the big twigs, you are helping the ground by leveling a little area for threshing, but since you're doing it for chalamayin purposes, that's fine. If you're doing it for the specific, for the purpose of watering the field, that's going to be a problem, says the Gemara inside. Adaita the kivri, if his intent is to catch the fish, mutter, shari, adaita the arif, his intent is to irrigate the field, again, we're talking about anabes shlachan, that was already watered before and needs the water, then it's going to be aser. Hey, Chidami, what is the indication of what his das is? Pasach trei bavi, if he opens up two gates for the water, one higher and one lower. So basically, the water is going to flow through the field, lower from higher up, flows into the field, and it flows out to the other side. And that's the kivri. So by the water eventually flowing out of the field, and as it slows down the water, the fish are going to get stuck in the land. That's clearly he's just coming to catch fish. He's not keeping the water in the field itself, and therefore it's mutter. However, pasach habavi opens up only one side on the higher level. Doesn't open up an exit on the lower level. Adai to the ara. He doesn't want the water to leave. He wants the water to stay in the field. It's clear they want the water for the field purposes, not really so much for the fish. Maybe he wants both, but it's more of an act that demonstrates water in the field, and that would be usr. Two more, or three more. Amar Rava. Hamid Pashach Dikla, one who removes branches from a palm tree, Adat Dikhavasa, if he's doing it for animal food, Shari, it's mutter, Adat Dikla, if he's trying to prune the tree, the palm tree, that's usr. Hey, Chidami, how do you know? Shakakul Machagis, if he takes off from one side, he's just doing it to feed his animal, Adat Dikhavasa, that means he's doing it for the animals, that's mutter. Magis, if he takes from both sides, Adat Dikla, that means he's pruning. If he does it off from one side, that shows he's not doing it the normal way of pruning a tree, he's just doing it for his animals, that's permissible, he just takes from both sides, that's the normal way to prune a tree, and that's going to be prohibited. Amarava. Hani Tamri Tuchlini, these dates that are not ripe, Megizrinu Shari. These dates that aren't ripe, cutting them in two is permissible. To cut them in two, that's cutting them to eat them. Even though they're not ripe, it's still cutting to eat them. That's permissible. Meitzino aser. But pressing them, when he presses it underweight, that's also because typically when you press it, that means he would leave it for the long run to dry out, to become these dried figs. That's a problem because you're doing it on act of chalamayin for the future, for the long run, that you can't do. You can only do acts that are relevant to yamtiv, chalamayin. Papa says, no, keep them aslay. Since if you don't press them, they're going to become wormy. Pragmacha, oved dummy. It's like business that a davar oved, and therefore for sure it's mutter. A separate reason, once you take them down, and you whatever you use, you great, and whatever you don't use, you're able to press because otherwise it's going to get wormy, so you are allowed to press it, even though it's for the future. The eighth sack of Rava, Amarava, Parmacha. So the last one you have, of course, for Papa that argued. On the eighth psak, Amarava, Parmacha, Shakoshu, Usr. Any business is Usr. On a base of Ravin, there's not arguing with her. This is a qualification. Uvidavra Avin, we know this is Mutter. By Dav Avin, it's Mutter. Let's drop further. Avin Havle, who Isker, Avin had this business. Dav Mizavishita Alfi. He had a business as a Maisa promoting a story where someone did very well by not doing business on Chalamayin. He had merchandise that he was selling. He was ready to sell for 6,000 zuz. Shai, the Zabuni, busted the Chalamayin. He waited instead of selling it on the Chalamayin. He waited. He had someone that was willing to buy it. He waited to sell it after Chalamayin for Zabu Shai Salfi. And he got double the price for it. He got 12,000 zuz for it. Ravina, having Masak Zuzah, Bivine Akra, to Shanvasa. Ravina had a claim of money against the people that lived in the banks of Shamasa, Asa, the Shamasa River. Asa, Kamei, Ravashi, Ketar, Vashi, Amalei, Malei, Mezlei, Dina, Alayo. Can I go and buy them a Chalamayin for the payment? Can I go today? Amalei, Kiva, the Inuit, Mishachzlu. Since you're able to find them, they're around today. And this money's owed to you. And if you don't find them today, who knows where they'll disappear to after Yom Tov. They may hide from you. Maybe another day you won't find them. That's considered Kapapmachia. Ha'avadami, that's more lenient. That's like a davra oven, and therefore shari, it's mutter. Tanya Nami, we learned also a similar psak. Abavei Dezara, Kegavra, in the beginning of Masechta Vayezera, we learned about not doing business with them near their Yom Edom, near their Chaga. So we learned Holchin, top of Yiral Fabralev, the Yerid. You let it go to Yerisha V'chavim, to the Umazoles. You let it go to their fears. V'leicha Me'ema, Avan Dushvachas, Batim V'sadis Kromim. And you buy from them animals, slaves, houses, fields, and vineyards, the case of Malabar Kasashlam, and you can write up the documents in their courts. Typically, we're not allowed to write documents in their courts. And there you're allowed to, you know why? Mishukam Matzal Miyadin, because it's like saving it from their hands. Meaning, if you buy from them something and you don't have it written up in their courts, they're going to come back and strong arm you and take it later and deny the sale. Only if it's registered on their documents is it going to be permissible. So even though we typically don't go with their courts over here, you're allowed to do it in their courts. Same type of idea. You're allowed to go in their courts because, like this, you're able to. Save it from a davra oven. That is permissible. Puzzle here. Pick up tomorrow. I know we didn't get to the Mishnah. We'll pick up Mishnah tomorrow. Have a good tevach.